22 before 8, we've got a special guest in the studio. His name's Brent Totteran, and he's the former chief planner for the City of Vancouver. Brent, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, of course, it's of interest because the world's most livable city has for some time been judged to be our city. But hot on our heels is the city of Vancouver.
Well, we were ranked first for 5 years.
Is that right?
That's right. And then you didn't get better, as I like to comment. The folks who ranked lowered our ranking, yeah. And ironically lowered it because of car congestion on Vancouver Island, which isn't even on the same piece of land. So it just goes to show we take those kinds of rankings with grain of salt. The methodology is always fun to debate, but it's good for mayors who like to have bragging rights. I understand your mayor calls our mayor every year and brags.
But no, he's a big brag around me.
What I like to say is that I like the power of what I call strategic jealousy or competition. So whether or not the methodology makes any sense or not, and if I'm talking livable cities, I tend not to listen to economists that much. So
are you saying that we're not deserved winners?
I think probably neither of us are necessarily the most livable city in the world, because how do you rank livability? Can you really quantify it? But what I like is it's a conversation starter.
Yeah, you've got to try. It's like courts say, well, damages won't make up for your missing leg, but we've got to try.
What it says is that our cities in Australia and Canada are doing well, and our countries are doing well, because 7 out of the top 10 are Australian and Canadian. 3 Canadian cities, 4 Australian cities, and add in Auckland in New Zealand, and that's 8 of the top 10 are from our regions.
So the
Commonwealth cities, Canada and Australia, are both doing well by livability standards. But of course, in Vancouver, we say we want to be a lot more than just livable. There's lots of different definitions of success.
Right.
Healthy and economically successful.
Well, I was going to throw economics out the window straight away and go automatically to
Calcutta.
Right. Compare safety. Do you have gun control in Vancouver?
Well, we have gun control in Canada, and I don't know how to compare it to Australia, but I know how to compare it to the United States. Right. It's a radical difference. We look across the border with a constant sense of shock and surrealism at both the gun control, lack of laws, and also the truly odd conversation that goes on every time there's a shooting. It's indicative of how rare things like that are in Canada, that when the Ottawa shootings happened recently, of course, that involved the Parliament, which makes it different. But it creates a shock in Canada because we're so not used to that.
We
just don't have gun culture.
Let's go through a few checklists, because we're very, very glad to have you here. What can we do? What would you like to see Melbourne do better?
Well, my main observation, both with Melbourne and other Australian cities, is that you seem to be doing your central areas very well, but your suburbs are very ordinary. And when I say ordinary, we're having a conversation internationally that basically says the success and failure of our city regions will be determined by how well we do our suburbs.
Uh-huh.
We can do our downtowns, our central areas almost perfectly, but most people are still going to the suburbs.
Those areas have got the benefit of antiquity, haven't they? They were built a long time ago and they're probably the prettier parts of town.
The
centrals.
Oh, the central, yes, yeah. And thus they're being gentrified, and they're becoming wealthier, and the poor are being pushed out more and more into the suburbs, where they're auto dependent, and they're very vulnerable to changes in energy costs and gas prices, etc. And the largest problem with suburbia is not an ideological debate. It's that it's largely car dependent. That we're locked in our cars essentially, because it's the only rational way to get around.
We've got an election coming up shortly, and one of the promises from the incumbent government is that they're going to build a new road through the city. Mm. What do you say about governments that build roads?
Well, when I gave my presentation last night, I always start off by pointing out that Vancouver's the only city in North America that built no freeways. We rejected the freeway concept. And everything that makes us livable and successful flows out of that decision. Because we understand the concept of what's called induced traffic or the law of congestion. It basically means when you build roads, it doesn't solve congestion, they just fill up because more people drive.
Right.
The old saying is building more roads to address congestion is like loosening your belt to address obesity. And we said that back in 1955. We understand that building roads doesn't work, but politicians still do it. It's incredibly expensive. It doesn't work. Whereas if you spent those same dollars, and we don't spend anywhere near the same dollars, but if we spent those same dollars on transit, walking, and biking, we would have a better return on investment and actually improve congestion better. which is what Vancouver...
Transit being public transport.
Public transport. Sorry, transport. We use transit. But that's what Vancouver has done better. If you ask me what Vancouver is doing better, we're investing far more in what we call a multimodal city, where driving is an option, but it's not a necessity.
Can I get around Vancouver on a bike?
Oh, absolutely. Although, if you can get around the region, just like Melbourne, we have a city and a region. It's more challenging to get around the region by bike, but that's improving, and a lot of effort is going into that. But most importantly, you can get around Vancouver region by transit really well. And we have density around our transit stations. So people can literally walk from their home to a train
or
a
transit. What is your transit, by the way? Is it mostly rail?
It's light rail. It's called SkyTrain technology. By comparison, your rail system, your heavy rail, you've got trams here, but you've also got heavy rail. Australia is blessed with heavy rail. You've got much better transit infrastructure that can move more people, but you're not putting the land use around your transit stations. That's the most striking observation I have.
What do you mean?
You put park and rides where everybody drives to the transit station or they just drive to work. Whereas we put communities around our transit station, high density, mixed use, walkable, bikeable communities that are right next to the transit stations. And that's what's most obvious when I look at the difference between Vancouver and Melbourne. We've got density out in our suburbs, concentrated around our transit stations. You generally don't. And then we're also densifying the suburban neighborhoods in very careful ways, not through towers and mid-rise. We don't call our neighborhoods stable neighborhoods because that's a bit of a myth. Because neighborhoods are depopulating, the kids are moving out, the schools are in danger of closing. So you can't just freeze a community in amber. So we created terms like gentle, hidden, and invisible density, row houses and secondary suites in the primary house and laneway houses tucked in behind. To show that you could add housing choices into neighborhoods and actually make those neighborhoods more nimble in terms of aging in place, all that kind of thing. So we're thinking about strategic densification that makes the suburbs in particular more walkable, more transit supported, more bikeable, because it's not an anti-car message. The actual point is that works better for everyone, including drivers, because getting around by car and parking by car takes up a lot of space, and you just can't fit. If everybody drives. If everybody drives, nobody moves.
Arguably, the most beautiful part of Melbourne is the Botanic Garden precinct with the sporting areas there, the MCG, the Rod Laver Arena, all that. Is there an equivalent in Vancouver?
Well, ironically, our sporting events and such are right in our downtown. And you take transit to get to them, or you walk to them, because we have 110,000 people living in our downtown area. And they walk to see the Vancouver Canucks, our hockey team, or our soccer team, or our football team, our American-style or Canadian-style football team. So we haven't created a precinct where those are. We embed them into the city, and we put them on transit, and we make them walkable. So it might be beautiful. But what I see is sustainability. I look for ways that people can get around and live without having to go to the car. What I don't know about your botanical gardens is how people get there.
Brent, lovely to chat with you. Is there a website where people can see your work or get into a discussion with you? Because I think people would be fascinated by some of this stuff.
Well, the easiest way is to follow me on Twitter at Brent Todderin, T-O-D-E-R-I-A-N. And the Twitter conversation from my presentation last night at the University of Melbourne was off the charts. It was excellent. So that's the best way to contact me. And then you can see my website there as well.
So at Brent Todderin, T-O-D-E-R-I-A-N.
Correct. All one word.
Lovely to chat with you.
My pleasure, guys.
Hope to see you one day in Vancouver. Brent is here as a guest of the Heart Foundation Victoria and gave a talk last night about the ways that Melbourne can become a complete city and presumably maintain our position as the world's most livable city.